offering our humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Dear listeners, we welcome you to this week's episode of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. As you all know, we study the 1990 summer course series in this program, and we've covered 14 discourses thus far, and we are in the 15th discourse, which also happens to be the penultimate discourse in that series. The past couple of weeks we had with us Professor G. Venkatraman, who gave us immense insight into this discourse which we are dealing with, which is called Ascent of Man. So we'll be continuing with this discourse. Sairam Sai Prakash.
Sairam Prem. It's amazing because last two sessions we had Sir, and I'm almost sitting in the same chair that Sir was sitting on.
But we do hope that you will give us as much profound insight as Sir did.
I hope the vibrations will come out from somewhere. But
even as you say that, you know, a completely different note, I'm reminded of what Professor Kasturi writes in the book Loving God.
Okay.
He writes about his mother, how pious devotee she was. You know, so quickly she took to Swami, from being a very, very orthodox homemaker. The way she took to Swami, and we know Swami was one who would squash all orthodoxy.
Correct.
But the ease with which she took to Swami was a sign of her pious nature. And he said that during bhajans in their house, she used to sit in one particular place. And one day when the bhajans were going on, and she was clapping hands and lost in that ecstasy of singing bhajans, she felt something was caught between her two hands, even as she was clapping.
Okay.
She thought maybe it's some bumblebee or something. When she looked at it, there was actually a small bunch of tulsi leaves.
Wow.
Which had materialized in her hand. So Professor Kasturi writes, they were all so excited about it. And after that, session after session, various members of the family tried sitting in that same spot, trying to clap the same way she clapped and lean on the wall the same way she did. So let's hope that sitting in the very chair which Venkatramans are occupied in the last couple of sessions, we would get similar insights from you.
But it's incredible what he contributed to the last two sessions.
Definitely. I think that overview is something which is very difficult to come in. It comes with seriously thinking about Swami's message.
Very true. And he's as current can be. And he has been able to correlate Swami's teachings with modern happenings and the events of today. That's really amazing.
Right.
In fact, as he rightly said, the Gita is all about morality. And it's the lack of morality that is the cause for everything that's happening today.
Right.
Be it man's relationship with other human beings, or with animals or plants, or even with nature. So, or with each of the five elements, as he mentioned it. You know, on our way back to the room after after the previous session, when I was going with Sir, I was just telling him, Sir, this morality is such an important topic. And he was saying, to be moral is very simple. To be moral is to act in a way which will please God. So that was a very spontaneous and a very nice reply that he gave. To be moral is to do acts that will please the Lord.
Very true. As somebody put it once, you know, religion is not endangered by atheists. He's saying religion is endangered by those religious who are not behaving in a manner which would, you know, which religious people are supposed to behave in.
That's right.
You know, you claim yourself to be devotees and believers of God, but you don't conduct yourself. That's why what he said was very, very profound when he said, the essence of the Gita is morality in society. Because we always think of it as, yeah, that's for somebody else and that's for those who are spiritual. But when you say morality, it's for everybody. It's not
that's
for
right.
just a couple of people.
In fact, the word morality as such doesn't appear in the Gita. But everything that is spoken in the Gita is about morality.
Right.
Because, and the connection which he made to the three gunas, which is also very, very important. Because a person who has more of tamas, we look at as somebody who is immoral. Tamas and rajas in a selfish way. But they also are qualities. They are also attributes.
Right.
So it's all a question of relative gunas, level of gunas. So I think that aspect, if we keep in mind, is very important, because the animals, as we spoke of last time, have fixed tendencies and fixed nature. The nature is more or less decided by God.
Right.
But here we have a chance to grow and we have a chance to refine ourselves.
Right. And that, and the other point which Swami made in this particular discourse when he started it itself, in a sense he's saying, be the best you can be.
Okay.
When he says that the greatness of being human is that manavatvam, that nature, he said, what is the point in being something and not expressing what is the real value of that completely?
In the sense, you're saying, to sanctify a human birth.
Right.
To sanctify what it stands for.
To what it stands for. Right.
Right.
You know, it's just releasing a little bit of what we've been working on for Premayani. That's why we said, you know, Swami says that over and over again. What is the point in being human and behaving like, you know, you're still behaving like the most evolved animal.
Correct.
You're not behaving like a human being. And that's where Swami would often say, I think in one of the discourses we went through, where Swami is saying, to err as human is itself a mistake. To think that it is, you are, you have the leverage to do a mistake, and to say to err as human is itself a mistake.
Right. You know, just taking a small digression from here, I had read in one of those books, there is this whole science of Kundalini Shakti and, you know, the different chakras.
Right.
But what really caught my attention was, you know, we say that the lowest chakra for human being is the Mooladhara chakra.
Right.
And then you have Swadhisthana, then you have the other chakras,
right.
Anahata, and Vishuddhi, and Agya, and Sahasrara. But what is interesting is, they say that the Mooladhara chakra is the highest chakra for the animals.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. So the animals, there are the lower chakras below the Mooladhara. So the animal evolves and he comes to the lowest state of the human being. That is the Mooladhara chakra.
Okay.
And then they say that the Sahasrara chakra of human being is the lowest chakra for the devas. There is a version that says that above the Sahasrara chakra, you have the chakras for the devas. So it's a way of saying that you are the most evolved animal, and you are in the lowest rung of a deva. You can climb up the ladder and actually go beyond.
I think that's what it's meant for. You know, when you, if you just take the example, there are, if you see a shoe manufacturing industry, you know, there is a separate section of shoes which are meant for professional soccer players.
Correct.
You know, that's not meant for you and me. It's meant for those who are really good at playing soccer, and which means that if you're, it can put up with that level of rigor which is required.
That's right.
But what's the point if you buy that and if you and I use it for our, you know, commuting to the studio and back home?
That's not making the best of it.
Right.
You know, here there's a very interesting statement which Swami says, morality is achieved through the control of senses. And, you know, I was thinking over this sentence for a long time. And it's basically your mind which drives you towards falling a prey to your senses. Your senses are already driving. And as Swami gave that beautiful analogy of those horses pulling the chariot in different directions.
Right.
And mind is the rein. And if the mind is weak, the horses are going to drag you away. But what it really means is, when your mind is not focused on the Atma but with the guidance of the intellect, and it's going towards the senses, what has to be punished or what has to be actually addressed is the mind. So he says, achieved through control of senses. So when your mind is stable and your senses are in control, then automatically your actions will be moral, and your every action will be in line with what your true nature is, that is the Atman. You know, in this context, there was a very nice episode I had seen in the Shankaracharya movie.
Okay.
There's a Sanskrit Shankaracharya movie.
Right, right.
And in that, it's a very small episode which brings it out very beautifully. He says, actually Shankaracharya and his two friends, in fact in the movie, Mrityu and Jnana are represented as two
death
friends.
Death and wisdom.
Death and wisdom are represented as two friends of Shankara in his childhood. So he's just running across a huge coconut farm.
Mm-hmm.
So there are lots of trees, and there he sees one person climbing up and trying to steal a few coconuts.
Okay.
So, and as he's going, and he's kind of taken aback. Oh, this man is actually stealing somebody else's property. And as he's doing that, he hears a voice, the owner's voice. So he says, okay, now let us hide and see. So all of them hide behind a bush, and they're seeing what's happening.
Okay.
Now the owner comes, and he says, this is not right, you should not steal. And then he climbs up the same tree.
Mm-hmm.
He removes the towel that he has used as a turban, and ties it around the tree.
Mm.
And he tells that man, now don't come down beyond this towel. He
okay.
just said, you be there.
Okay.
You be there. And these people are wondering what he's up to. So he goes and then comes back with a plate full of food. Okay.
Okay.
He comes back with a plate full of food, and then he climbs a tree, removes the towel. He says, now you come down.
Okay.
And then he gives him about 5-6 coconuts, and he says, now you have this food, and now you go, but don't do it again. Now mm-hmm. Shankaracharya is bewildered. He goes and says, what kind of punishment is this? I mean, this man came to steal your coconuts, and you're rewarding him and sending him away. He says, see, if I punish the body, he will commit the sin again. I'm punishing the mind. I'm telling the mind that this is not the right thing to do. What's the point in punishing the body? I can as well catch him, and I can hit him, and I can do, but that's not going to solve the case. So he says, I am punishing the mind. I am telling the mind that this is not moral. This is not ethical. So you should not do it.
Beautiful. Very good.
And he actually forgives him. He forgives him and gives him two coconuts, gives him food, and he sends him. And then of course he says that this rich Vedic tradition that our country has is slowly declining. And that was one of the statements that keeps coming back in Shankaracharya's memory mm-hmm. all through the film, where the statement of a simple farm owner
mm-hmm.
and he says, such great Vedic dharma that we have, you should not punish the body, you should punish the mind and mm-hmm. teach the person what to do.
I think something very similar to this small insight we were discussing when you're talking about the Ramakatha Vaswaini in the other program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is this episode of Vishwamitra.
Mm-hmm.
We all know the story of Vishwamitra, how the gods try to derail his penance
sure.
because they sent Menaka, and he falls for Menaka.
Yes.
Then Rambha is sent mm-hmm. as the second distraction,
mm-hmm.
and he gets wild, he gets very upset,
mm-hmm.
and he curses her. So the first time he loses his penance, and the power of his penance through the lust,
mm.
the second time he loses it through anger.
Correct.
And he curses her, and then he repents.
Mm.
And we were... when we were talking about that story, we also came to the part where Vishwamitra takes Rama and Lakshmana to that spot where Shiva destroys Manmatha.
Okay.
You know, the parallel between these two is, there Shiva comes out of his penance and destroys lust.
Mm.
Here, Vishwamitra came out of his penance and punished the one who brought the lust to him.
Okay.
And you know, here he loses all his penance. And there Shiva, I mean, that is the thing what we have to do. Always we do that. Even this idea of, punishing the body, we do that to ourselves also, if we do
correct.
A mistake.
And
Swami would say that you are kind of reiterating the point that you are the body here.
Correct.
Saying that if I can punish my body, it is like I am punishing myself.
Correct. In fact, I remember, I think in one of the discourses Swami mentioned, non-violence starts with you.
Wow.
He says non-violence starts with you. First of all, you be non-violent to yourself, to your body. Don't punish your body. Don't be violent to your body. Non-violence starts with you. Once you set that right, everything will automatically be set right.
I remember my brother was once sharing with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had, I think when Swami was in Vrindavan,
mm-hmm.
they were all eating in the canteen once. And just next to him, there was a group of devotees from, I think, Japan. And there was this little child who was there eating the food.
Mm-hmm.
And I think apparently she had taken more than she could manage to eat.
Okay.
And she was struggling with the food.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very surprised, the advice the mother gave to the child.
Mm-hmm.
The mother said, don't force yourself. Swami says non-violence is not good.
Wow.
And he was so struck, they had they had gone so deep into Swami's message. Because one thing is you don't waste food. The other thing is, he said, you know, don't be non-violent towards yourself. Swami says you should not be, non-violence is not good.
And I think it's very important that such kind of explanations are given to children today. Because here, you know, when Swami says elders and teachers and parents, you know, it's the explanation, because children are so sharp today. And if you give them the right explanation, it makes all the difference.
Very true. Very true. In fact, I think one of the listeners had written to us the previous week after listening to one of the programs on radio, and he said, why isn't the Atmic knowledge not being taught in schools, at least in India? Because you're saying it's such an essential thing. Forget everything else. You talk all kinds of technologies. You know, all the technological advancements which our sages and seers received, it was because of their self-knowledge.
Correct.
He said, even if you look at it scientifically, we as a nation should be teaching our children all these things.
Very true.
And, you know, in the name of secularizing religion, we're actually removing it off the very purpose. That's what Swami says.
This is not any religion. It is spiritual. I mean, the Atma and the whole concept of mind, senses, under which religion does it fall? It is actually spirituality. Right. It's really beyond religion.
That is the very striking point that Swami makes here. You know, he says, humaneness is the beauty for a human, this one. Morality is the beauty for a society. And that morality can be established only in a spiritual surrounding.
Correct.
Because you need, I think, a higher purpose to do this.
Correct. And company and atmosphere is equally important.
Right.
And there is another point which Swami made here very beautifully. He says, the harmony of thought, words and action is satyam. The harmony of thought, word and deed is ritam.
Right.
So that's amazing, because, yeah, word and action, you can tell, yeah, I'm going there, and you can actually go there. But thought, word and deed, you have to be in that thought awareness that this body is going there. I mean, that is rhythm. That is the higher truth. And it is based on the ultimate truth.
Right. I think the necessary thing is a mode of training where people are taught to think deeper. You know, that's what is lacking when you talk of education, when you talk, because we're stuck only with the thoughts, words, in actions, not going deeper into that.
See, the whole thing is a necessity for apparent necessity for going deeper has been eliminated systematically because of modern education. I mean, you have modern education which gives you all the knowledge that you require, and they have kept this the ultimate truth out of their syllabus. So what happens is people are students are easily, you know, they take it for granted that once I know this and get a good job, my life, I have, you know, done what is required in my life. But there is more to it. And that whole awareness, very frankly, for being here for so many years, we heard so many discourses of Bhagwan. But it's only at an opportune time and a time when he wills it that the whole idea of trying to go deeper comes in.
Right.
And so, looking at my own example, I can really say it's nobody's fault, actually. It's just a master plan. But if, because of this awakening that he has blessed me with, or this deeper understanding, if I create an atmosphere, if at least 2 people around me, if 10 people around me are able to think that, okay, this guy is basing his life on something deeper than what we all are doing, that's enough.
Right.
I think that's how it is.
I think the other thing which happens when, if you're talking of the environment we all were lucky to be brought up in, one thing which Swami kept reiterating and hitting us with was, it's so easy to survive. That is something which was a little different from the perspective you're given outside. Swami would often say, it's after all a tiny stomach. How much food do you need? You know, how much comfort do you need? And he kept telling us that all this can be, you know, found and can be earned by very little effort. Don't think
that's
that life
not the
is
purpose.
Only this.
Yes. That's not the purpose.
So I think even if we didn't think of it when we were students, let's say when we go out and start working, you know, that idea is there. And when we start earning, we say that, yeah, I mean, I don't need more than this much. So what more is life for?
See, that also comes with the idea of less is more. Rather,
right.
Means ceiling on the material desires. Like, if I don't have a cot, I'm happy sleeping on the floor, or
right.
just on a mat. And if I don't have a four-course meal, like, I'm happy with having one sambar rice and one curd rice. Whatever. I mean, so he has trained us in fact, we have told it earlier in the show, when we were in the school, we did not have fans in our room. And Swami trained us to...
Yeah, interestingly, the cows in the Gokulam had fans.
Yeah, that's interesting because... But he made sure that we are happy with what is available. That contentment is what he brought about.
Right, right. All those small lessons, from the most profound to the small ones, even as Swami says here, you know, mm-hmm. parents and teachers are not setting good examples, they're not encouraging them.
Mm-hmm.
I remember so many times during Tri sessions, especially during those sessions before we go out for our vacations,
mm-hmm.
you know, Swami would say very, very sweetly, he would say that, see, you know, you're all going back home,
mm-hmm.
and you've been so good here, you've done the right things, you've kept away from the wrong things. You will be different when you go back home. You know, people will see that you're a little odd.
Mm.
And at once he in fact told that, you know, your mother might come and tell, why are you sitting all day long in the house, not doing anything?
Mm.
Why don't you go out for a movie with your friends?
Mm.
And Swami would say, see, they don't know, so they're saying that.
Mm.
But Swami would say, you tell very softly to your parents,
mm-hmm.
say that, no, it is not right, Swami doesn't like it. Very pleasingly you should tell, huh? You should not tell rudely, Swami would say. Very softly explain to them. Once you explain, they'll understand.
Mm.
And then you should say, no, Swami likes it this way, I should be like this.
Mm.
You know, everything, every small detail to those profound messages which are told, you know, like those pills which are given through a banana, it was almost like that.
No, very true, because he would say what should be done, what should not be done, and why it should not be done.
Right.
See, more important than just laying out a rule book, you're clear about why it should not be done. And the easiest way of looking at it, even if you don't understand the deeper meaning, is Swami doesn't like it.
Right. Right.
So that really took us a long way.
I think that's what even Sir was mentioning. You know, the being a devotee gives you such an edge.
Correct.
Because a big part of the lacuna is filled in.
Mm.
You know, why should I do this? That's a big thing which we find it very difficult to explain to somebody. You know, someone comes and says, you have to lead a moral life, you have to lead a righteous life. Why?
Why?
You know?
That's
unless
the point.
You have a very strong reason to do that.
Correct. And then he spoke about sacrifice, and he said how knowledge and money both should flow. It cannot stagnate. And one more example which Swami gives in this context is blood.
Mm-hmm.
He says if the blood stops flowing, it becomes a blood clot.
Right.
If the blood suddenly says, oh, this spot I like very much, I want to be here only, I will not move out from this place, you're going to have a blood clot. So he says just like blood, money also should flow, and knowledge also should flow.
You know, this is a very interesting point where Swami is saying knowledge should flow.
Mm-hmm.
Now we can understand that money should flow,
mm-hmm.
but knowledge should flow is a very apt statement for the situation we are in right now.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, just a colleague of ours and myself was sitting and discussing about the state in which, you know, medical treatment is in the country today.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you know, you go to a doctor. The doctor is forced to put you through a series of tests.
Correct.
Which definitely you may not need.
Mm.
Because he has invested in a medical technology which costs him this much per year. And he needs to break even by at least recommending that for so many patients.
Mm.
And if you look at why this has happened, it's because of our very stringent patent laws.
Mm.
You know, people want to grab and hold on to that knowledge. You know, if you see it with what the sages have done, sages said, no, we received it.
Mm.
It is not ours.
And we
have to pass it on.
Mm.
But here we are saying that, no, I discovered this, I invented this, this is my process, this is my invention, my technology. And you put a huge price on it, and that price gets passed on like this, and the only way is, you know, it happens, there are people in very large multi-specialty hospitals who say that we cannot help it.
Mm.
You know, we've paid 20 crores for this equipment. And to keep it functioning, we should do these many scans per year.
Correct.
And we cannot help it. And if we don't have this equipment, people think that you're not a good hospital.
Mm. It's all a circle.
And when Swami says that knowledge should be passed on,
it's
a very important thing for us right now.
in that way, actually, the amazing things that come out on YouTube, the amazing things right, and the way right. people are sharing knowledge.
Right, I think that's also a change in perspective which is happening right now.
Correct, correct. And the whole concept of Linux.
Right. The open source open and all source. That which you're having with. Mm. You have all these websites which offer courses mm. from very good universities for free.
Correct.
You know, you could just sit there and you can get the knowledge. You know, forget mm. the ambience, forget your lab facilities and all that. That you can pay. But the knowledge is free.
Correct.
That's a very interesting shift we are going into, I think.
Correct. And then Swami went on to say that you have to give up your bad qualities. That is the true sacrifice. It's not giving up family and relatives. Right. That is the easier thing to do. And so giving up bad qualities, and then he says, just like in swimming, as you push it back, then you go forward. So that's what you have to give up.
You know, I'm reminded of what happened to one of my classmates. Mm-hmm. Even here, you know, how Swami encourages us in every small thing which we want to do. Mm-hmm. This classmate of mine, you know, for some reason, in the middle of his course, he suddenly said that, you know, am I here only for this BSc and MSc which Swami is giving? Mm-hmm. I could have done this elsewhere. Mm-hmm. I should do something more. You know, to make full benefit of this, I should do something more. And then he said, there are so many flaws in me, I should probably correct all these things. Mm-hmm. And with a lot of difficulty, because he was saying that these are all habits from my school times. Mm-hmm. So with a lot of difficulty, he said, no, I have to get up early, I have to do this. He put a strict discipline for himself.
Okay.
And he said, Swami, I'm following this only for you.
Mm-hmm.
And every day it was tough and tougher mm-hmm. than the previous day. But he stuck to it. He said, Swami, I'm doing this for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then at a point it was too much you know, to carry on with that.
Mm.
And he said, Swami, I'm struggling so much. Do you even know that I'm doing this for you?
Okay.
You know, do you even know that I'm struggling with this and I'm doing it only for you?
Mm.
So in my second PG or first PG, there used to be this event where, you know, Swami would come and sit in the darshan in Sai Kulund Hall. He would start taking letters.
Mm-hmm.
And he would keep taking till all the boys in the whole block would come up in a line and give the letter to him.
Correct.
You know,
correct.
About 150 boys would come and give.
Mm.
And it would be such a long drawn event that people would sit and write a letter and could go and give up to Swami. It would be like that.
Mm.
So one day this boy had written a letter to Swami about this, you know, whatever he had tried and all that. And he happened to be the last person in that line.
Mm.
So he stood there for nearly 20 minutes and then went up to Swami. And so he gave the letter to Swami. And Swami was very busy. There were so many people around him.
Mm.
And when he gave that letter, Swami just took the letter. Swami looked at him and he said, good, continue.
Wow.
And you can imagine what a, you know, a reassuring thing that was. Just two words.
Mm.
But he said, you know, the very fact that I'm doing it for Swami, and Swami knows and he appreciates it.
Mm.
He said, after that it became so easy.
Beautiful. Sometimes he would just give that glimpse.
Right.
I am there, I know.
Right.
Beautiful. And then this last paragraph where Swami says the 16 qualities that man has to give up. And there are the 6 Arshad Vargas, then there's 8 types of Mada, that is pride, and Rajas and Tamas. So that makes it 16.
Interestingly, Swami doesn't say give up wealth, give up power, give up authority.
Correct, correct.
He's saying give up 8 types of pride.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the earlier discourse, Swami said that the pride which comes from beauty, the pride which comes from
wealth,
education, from wealth,
yeah.
spirituality, power, and a few other things like that. Swami is not telling give up
wealth.
That, give up wealth.
He's saying give up
being
the
beautiful.
Pride.
Give up the pride which would come from that.
Correct. That's a very interesting point because, as Sir mentioned, in the Gita it is mentioned that when you're born, when you do a lot of good acts, in the next birth you're born in a better and a well-to-do family.
Right. Right.
So wealth is definitely a boon.
Right.
And when you are comfortable, automatically your nature should make you spend it on the society and serve others. But you need not give up all your wealth. You have to give up the pride that comes with wealth.
In fact, I think one of the historians makes that point.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the things which happened in, you know, the subcontinent, Bharat.
Mm-hmm.
He said it was a land of plenty for so many years. It was plentiful and, you know, to think of food and think of the necessities of living was never there. And when that was fulfilled, and when the, you know, the mind was properly channeled, mm-hmm. that was when becoming spiritual was so easy.
Correct.
And that's why India, you know, when going by too much of wealth will always make you a spoiled brat.
Mm.
India was always wealthy, but it was always a center of spirituality
too. Correct, correct. Now, also, again, coming back to society and the way it was structured, the importance that was given to a Brahmin and right. to the actions that he was supposed to do, and they also did it sincerely, not craving for too much wealth.
Right.
They were satisfied with what was given. So everything was balanced.
Right. Then, of course, Swami goes on to this Bhagavata,
yes.
the explanation of Bhagavatam.
Mm-hmm.
It was phenomenal, I felt.
Yeah. So, bhakti, jnana, vairagya, tattvam, and mukti.
Mukti. Where he says, it's not even that there are different stages, but he says that bhakti should result in
jnana.
Hmm. That's almost like the pinnacle of devotion.
Correct.
And then he says jnana should express itself as vairagya.
Mm-hmm.
That's very interesting again. Then vairagyam should lead to tattvam. I think what Swami is meaning is the idea of that oneness.
Correct.
It should come from there.
Mm-hmm.
And then mukti, I think, will be incidental after that. Right. So should we go to the next clip?
Yes, I think that's what Swami mentioned last in the last clip.
Right.
Vidyarthulu kudanu bhavanamunaku jeevita bhavanamunaku punadi vanti vare. Student life is the very foundation for the later life. Endukatte meeru brahmacharulu. Because every student is
brahmachari anetuvanti yokka punadi paine gruhastamu anetuvanti godalu kattunnaru.
The family life is built as a wall on the foundation of brahmacharya.
Kanuka ee gruhasthulu anetuvanti godala paine vanaprastham anetuvanti roopu.
On these walls of Gruhastha or family man, this Vanaprastha roof is laid. And it is laid.
ఈ వానప్రస్థం అనేటువంటి మూతను వేసిన తర్వాతనే కేవలము జీవితము అనేటువంటి దానిని అందులో మనము జరుపుకుంటూ వస్తున్నాం.
We can live the life in this house once there is this Vanaprastha roof is laid.
జీవిత భవనమునకు విద్యార్థులు బ్రహ్మచర్యులు పునాది వంటి వారి.
Therefore, for the mansion of life, the vidyarthi
punadi bhadramga lekundina bhavanam anta kulipothundi.
If the foundation is not strong, the mansion can collapse at any time.
Vidyarthulu motta mota gunamulanu bhadramainatiga manamu abhivruddhi gavinchukovali.
Therefore, in this age, students should have good qualities and cultivate them and make them firm and strong.
Guname lekundina మన జీవితంలో శాంతియే ఉండదు.
యు విల్ నాట్ హ్యావ్ పీస్ వితౌట్ వర్చ్యూస్ అండ్ గుడ్ క్వాలిటీస్.
మనము సమాజంలో పుట్టినాము.
వీఆర్ బోర్న్ ఇన్ సొసైటీ.
సమాజంలో పెరిగినాము.
వీఆర్ గ్రోన్ ఇన్ సొసైటీ.
సమాజంలోనే మన జీవితాన్ని గడుపుతున్నాము.
వీఆర్ లివింగ్ అవర్ లైఫ్ ఇన్ సొసైటీ.
సమాజమే లేకపోతే మన యొక్క జీవితమే లేదు.
వీ విల్ నాట్ హ్యావ్ అవర్ ఓన్ లైఫ్ వితౌట్ సొసైటీ.
కానీ దురదృష్టవశాత్తు ఈనాటి మానవుడు నేను నా కుటుంబము నేను నా కుటుంబము అనేటువంటి ఒక స్థాయి అందే నిలిచిపోతున్నాడు.
టుడే మ్యాన్ అన్ఫార్చునేట్లీ ఈజ్ కన్ఫైనింగ్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ టు హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ అండ్ హిస్ ఫ్యామిలీ. డజంట్ గో బియాండ్ దట్.
సమాజం వరకు తాను ప్రయాణం చేయటం లేదు.
హీ డస్ నాట్ గో యాజ్ మచ్ యాజ్ టు సొసైటీ అట్ ఆల్.
తాను తన కుటుంబం వరకే ప్రయాణం చేసి అందులో నిలిచిపోతున్నాడు.
హిస్ జర్నీ ఈజ్ ఫ్రమ్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ టు హిస్ ఫ్యామిలీ అండ్ దేర్ ఇట్ ఎండ్స్.
సమాజమే లేకపోతే నీ కుటుంబం ఎక్కడ?
If there is no society, where does your
samajame lekapothe neevu ekkada?
If there is no society, where do you
samajamlo neevu oka vyakti?
You are only an individual in the society.
Alanti samajane neevu visarjinchi samajane neevu lekka cheyakunda kevalam swarthamo saprayojanam nunde jeevitham gadapatam chetane neeku shanti saukhyamulu dooram aipothunnayi.
You are not enjoying peace and prosperity because you are giving up such a society.
Bhakti prapattulu endukudanu bhaktulu kudanu mottamodu tana palitalaku mukhyamu.
Even in devotion and surrender, the devotee considers himself
swarthamu swarthamu swartham.
Even in devotion, selfishness
tajamare daivam yokka pari,
and he then only thinks of God.
Kanukane manavudu anukunnatvanti yokka aanandanni anubhavinchalekapothunnadu anukolekapothunnadu.
దట్ ఈస్ వై మ్యాన్ హస్ నాట్ బీన్ ఏబుల్ టు ఎంజాయ్ ద బ్లిస్ విచ్ హీ ఈజ్ ఆస్పైరింగ్ టు హ్యావ్. నీవు ఎక్కడ నుంచి వచ్చావు? ఫ్రమ్ వేర్ హ్యావ్ యూ కమ్?
ఏ ఆధారంతో నీవు జీవిస్తున్నావు?
ఆన్ వాట్ బేసిస్ ఆర్ యూ లివింగ్?
ఏ అనుభవంతో నీవు ఈ యొక్క లోకంలో అనుభవిస్తున్నావు?
హౌ ఆర్ యూ ఎంజాయింగ్ యువర్ లైఫ్ బై వాట్ గ్రేస్?
దీనిని మర్చిపోతున్నారు మానవుడు.
మ్యాన్ ఈస్ ఫర్గెటింగ్ దిస్ ట్రూత్.
కనుకనే భగవంతు యొక్క తత్వాన్ని విస్మరించి భౌతికమైన లౌకికమైనటువంటి యొక్క ఈ జగత్తుని ఆశ్రయించినటువంటి యొక్క వారు కౌరవులని చెప్పవచ్చు.
దోస్ పీపుల్ హూ టేక్ షెల్టర్ అండ్ బేస్ దర్ ఎంటైర్ లైఫ్ ఆన్ ద వరల్డ్లీ లైఫ్ అండ్ గివ్ అప్ గాడ్ హూ ఇస్ ద వెరీ బేసిస్ దే మే బి డిస్కవర్డ్.
సంపదలు ఉండినప్పటికీ కట్టకడప్పటికి ఏమైపోయినది?
కౌరవాస్ హ్యాడ్ సో మచ్ ఆఫ్ వెల్త్ అండ్ పవర్, వాట్ హ్యాపెన్ టు దెమ్ అట్ లాస్ట్?
సమస్త బంధువులు కూడా కౌరవులకే సహాయం గావిస్తూ వచ్చారు.
ఆల్ ద రిలేటివ్స్ హెల్ప్డ్ ఓన్లీ కౌరవాస్.
మహావీరులు ధీరులు గంభీరులైనటువంటి వారంతా కూడా కౌరవులు ఎందే గొప్పవారుగా నిలిచిపోయారు.
గ్రేట్ రినోన్ హీరోస్ జాయిన్ ది కౌరవాస్ ఇన్ దేర్ ఫైట్.
కృపాచార్య, ద్రోణాచార్య, భీష్మాచార్య ఇలాంటి మహా తెలివితేటలు కలిగినటువంటి వారు కూడా, ధీశక్తి కలిగినటువంటి వారు కూడా కౌరవుల వైపునే ఉంటున్నారు.
People with so much of intelligence and powers like Krupa, Drona and Bhishmacharya, all this were on the side of Kaurava.
Bhuja balamu, buddhi balamu, ayudha balamu, ananda balamu, ematram kodunu variki prayojanam lekapoyindi.
But Pandavas were one who based themselves entirely on the grace of God and on the strength of the divinity.
కనుకని ధర్మమును ఆశ్రయించినప్పుడే దైవం మనకు లభ్యమవుతాడనేటువంటిది భగవద్గీత సుస్పష్టంగా చెప్తున్నది.
భగవద్గీత హ్యాస్ ఎక్స్పౌండెడ్ ఎక్స్ట్రీమ్లీ క్లియర్లీ దట్ ఓన్లీ దో పీపుల్ హూ రిసార్ట్ టు ధర్మ
ధర్మ క్షేత్రే కురుక్షేత్ర ధర్మంతో ప్రారంభం చేశాడు.
భగవద్గీత హాస్ కన్విన్స్డ్ విత్ వరల్డ్ ధర్మ.
కానీ కట్టగలబటికి విజయంతో అంత్యం గావించాడు.
అండ్ ఇట్ హాస్ క్లోజ్డ్ ఇట్సెల్ఫ్ విత్ విక్టరీ.
ధర్మముతో ప్రారంభించి విజయముతో ఆనందాన్ని అనుభవింపచేశాడు అర్జునుకు.
అర్జున స్టార్టెడ్ విత్ ధర్మ అండ్ ఎండెడ్ విత్ విక్టరీ.
కనుకని ఏ చిన్న కార్యమునకైనా కూడాను పాండవులు పరమాత్మని ముందుంచుకుని తాము ఆ కార్యంలో ప్రవేశించేటువంటి వారు.
పాండవాస్ ఆర్ దోస్ పీపుల్ ఇన్ వాట్ ఎవర్ స్మాల్ వర్క్ దే అండర్టుక్ దే ఫస్ట్ కెప్ట్ గాడ్ బిఫోర్ దెమ్ అండ్ దెన్ ఓన్లీ స్టార్టెడ్ దేర్ వర్క్.
కౌరవులు అది కాదు, తమ స్వార్థము సప్రయోజనాన్ని ముందుంచుకుని భగవంతుని వెనకించేటువంటి వారు.
దే గేవ్ టాప్ ప్రయారిటీ ఫర్ దేర్ ఓన్ సెల్ఫిష్నెస్ అండ్ సెల్ఫ్ ఇంట్రెస్ట్ అండ్ దే ఓన్లీ.
కనుకనే వారికి అన్ని విధములు కూడాను వారికి నష్టములు కష్టములే సంభవిస్తూ వచ్చాయి.
దట్ ఈస్ ది రీజన్ వై దే సఫర్డ్ సో మచ్ ఆఫ్ లాస్ అండ్ సో మచ్ ఆఫ్.
భగవంతుని ముందుంచుకున్నటువంటి యొక్క పాండవులకు అన్ని విజయములే చేకూరినాయి. కష్టములు కొన్ని కలిగినాయి, కానీ ఆ కష్టముల వల్ల వారికి ఏమాత్రము నష్టం లేదు.
Pandavas might have faced some difficulties, but as they kept God in front, as
their priority, sukham varaku praptinchadu.
Without difficulty,
kache phali.
Only the one who works hard will be rewarded.
Pandavuli yokka swarupamu, Kauravu yokka vibhagamu, ee rakamga manu gurtinchalante, Kauravulu mottabota, I, nenu, ani ahankaradi mundinchukunnaru.
To understand the distinction between Pandavas and Kauravas, we have to recognize Kauravas based upon their entire strength on themselves.
First I. Next world.
Last God.
Kanukane, world anni lost aipoyi.
Therefore, they lost everything.
Pandavulu attu kadu. First God, next world, last I. వారు అహంకారాన్ని కట్టకట్టపడి చేర్చారు. కనుకనే వారు విజయాన్ని సాధిస్తూ వచ్చారు.
ఆన్ ది అదర్ హ్యాండ్ పాండవాస్ గే ఫస్ట్ ప్రయారిటీ టు గాడ్, సెకండ్ ప్లేస్
అహంకారాన్ని వెనుకకు నెట్టాలి.
జస్ట్ వై ఈగో,
అహంకారాన్ని ముందు పెట్టుకోకూడదు.
వు షుడ్ నాట్ కీప్ ఈగో ఇన్ ది ఫస్ట్ ప్లేస్.
కనుక మన పవిత్రమైన చరిత్రలన్నీ కూడాను అహంకార నిర్మూలములు గావించుకునేటువంటి మార్గములను ఎన్నో ఉపమాన ఉపదేయములుగా మనకు బోధిస్తూ వచ్చాయి.
All the scriptures have taught that we should destroy the ego if we would really enjoy bliss and peace.
Vidyarthulara, ee vayasu lopala meeku ee ahankaram undatamu sahajame.
students in this age, it may be natural for you to have that kind of ego.
Kanda balam undunnanta varaku kannulo ahankara balamu prakashistune untadi.
As long as you have physical strength, your eyes will be full of ego.
Yuvakulu yokka rattamu nirantaram kodunu paruvulu urukulugane untuntayi. Deeniki prashantamainatundi yokka prasaram untane undadu.
The blood in the youth would be flowing with great speed. There will not be peace or will not be a
దేనిని కూడా లెక్క చేయరు.
They don't seem to care for anything.
ఇది అహంకారం అనేటువంటి పొరల చేత ఆవరించడం వల్ల ఈ ఎవరు కూడా లెక్క చేయకుండా మంచి చెడ్డల విచారణ చేయకుండా ఉంటుంటారు.
People who are overwhelmed with ego would never care for any discrimination.
పిల్లలు ఎందు విచక్షణ జ్ఞానము ఏమాత్రము కనిపించదు.
There will not be any sense of discrimination at all in such people.
విద్యార్థులారా, వినయ విధేయతయే ప్రధానమైన విద్యగా భావించాలి.
కన్సిడర్ హ్యూమిలిటీ అండ్ ఒబీడియన్స్ యాజ్ వెరీ ఇంపార్టెంట్
ఆస్పెక్ట్. వినయము,
ఎడ్యుకేషన్ కన్ఫర్స్ హ్యూమిలిటీ.
వినయములను కలుగు పాత్రత.
ది అథారిటీ ఈజ్ ఒబ్టెయిన్ ఆన్ అకౌంట్
ఆఫ్ పాత్రత వలన ధనము.
వన్ గెట్స్ మనీ ఆన్ అకౌంట్
ధనము వలన దైవంబు.
ఆన్ అకౌంట్ ఆఫ్ మనీ వన్ గెట్స్ ది గాడ్.
చూశారా, దైవం మనకు చిక్కాలంటే వినయం చేతనే మనకు దైవం లభిస్తాడు.
యూ కెన్ ఒబ్టెయిన్ గాడ్ ఓన్లీ బై హ్యూమిలిటీ.
కేవలం దైవం పైన అలక్ష్యం చేయటం వల్లన కానీ లేక అహంకారంతో నీవు ఈ యొక్క దైవ విషయాన్ని ధర్మ విషయాన్ని అలక్ష్యం చేసినప్పుడు కానీ నీకు ఈ విధమైనటువంటి యొక్క దివ్యమైనటువంటి భావములు ప్రాప్తించవు.
ఇఫ్ యు ఆర్ రాదర్ ఇండిఫరెంట్ టు గాడ్ ఫిల్డ్ విత్ ఈగో, యు ఆర్ నాట్ లైక్లీ టు ఒబ్టెయిన్ గాడ్ ఇన్ ఎనీవే.
I think that Klip Swami started first of all with the explanation of the different ashramas. The brahmacharis, the brahmacharashrama and the grihasthashrama.
Correct.
The vanaprasthashrama. How he said that, you know, the student life is supposed to be the foundation for this mansion of life. And then this is a thing which many people ask, I don't know, when you know, when we were students, when we used to go back home, why so much discipline in Swami's hostel? And you know, the question which often would come is Swami trying to make sadhus and sannyasis?
Correct.
I think that comes from the wrong belief that only if you want to become a sadhu or sannyasi, you're supposed to live a disciplined life like this. But Swami is, you know, very clearly pointing out here, even to be a good grihastha, you have to start by being a disciplined brahmachari.
Correct.
I think in this discourse or the previous one, Swami mentioned that the problem with man is he doesn't know when that grihasthashrama stops or ends and the vanaprastha is supposed to begin.
It's interesting because in the Premavahini, which we were just reading, there's an entire chapter dedicated to vanaprastha. And I'll have to read it again to see what is the connection between the previous chapter and this, because it comes in such a with so much force, and there is such a traditional this thing, description of what a vanaprastha should do in the shastras.
Okay.
And Swami very in lot of detail he brings it out. So every ashrama has its own importance. And here Swami is talking about brahmacharya and grihastha. Then he says the vanaprastha is the roof. He says the foundation is brahmacharya. So foundation has to be very strong.
Right, so I think the Bhagavatam begins almost in one of the most important chapters of the Bhagavatam. There is this discourse which Vidura gives Dhritarashtra.
Okay.
About vanaprasthashrama. He's saying that how long are you going to hold on to this? You know, you've already been blinded and
your
sons have blinded you. And he puts it like, aren't you ashamed that you have to live under the care of these Pandavas now, you know, whom you have wronged so much? He says, at least take this insult as a, you know, impetus to go into this vanaprasthashrama and go and repent for whatever you've done and, you know, give up all these worldly and royal attachments. It seems to be a very important thing. And going from what Swami said earlier, Swami is saying that it's not renouncing family, it is not renouncing this one. You know, the sacrifice of Vairagya, which is meant to be in the brahmachari phase or in the grihastha phase, is quite different.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, it is supposed to happen here, I think.
Okay.
In Vanaprastashrama.
Correct.
Till then, the sacrifice is not in this form.
Correct.
This is the place where it has to be in the form of giving up house and giving up comfort and all that.
Correct. In fact, I think even in the Ramayana, when there is a very small incident when Dasharatha is taking a glass of water or something where his hand just shakes.
Right.
And he says, he decides, immediately I should hand over the kingdom to Rama.
So in the middle of the night he tries to drink a cup of water where his hands are not able to grip the glass properly. And he says that it's time now. I mean, if you compare that with what happens in the world today of politics, in the world of politics today.
Nobody wants to give up.
Right, there's no retirement age at all.
That's right. And here, this analogy which Swami has given so many times, how God first, the world next, and Ahamkara, yourself last.
Right.
And it's so amazing because you see the volume, it's again the quantity versus quality, and you see hundreds of Kauravas, and you see all the strength on their side. But just imagine, in the beginning of the war, nobody would have imagined Kauravas would have lost. I'm just hearing this analogy of how it's all internal. How this Mahabharata itself, the Kauravas are like 100 bad thoughts.
Right.
And if you have five good thoughts, which are directed by the Atman.
So because they are not like, they are, in Sandeha Nivarani, Swami says this.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Swami says, what is Hastinapura? Swami says, Hastinapura is Astinapura.
Okay.
Asti means bones.
Oh, okay.
So Astinapura is the city of bones, which is the body.
Which is the body, right.
And then Swami says, see, bad thoughts are many.
Mm.
You have so many bad thoughts. Mm-hmm. That's why Kauravas are 100.
Mm.
But good feelings and good thoughts are only 5. Which is Satya Dharma Shanti Prema Ahimsa.
And he says, what are those bad thoughts? Those bad thoughts are putting I first, the world next, and God last.
Right.
So that is the only.
So I think, as you're saying, that it happens in each one of us.
Hmm.
None of us do this prioritizing all the time.
Correct.
We might do it sometimes, but we don't do it all the time.
Correct.
You know, that's the problem.
Yeah, and in one of these discourses in this series, Swami again said, what is good and what is bad? Anything that takes you away from God is bad. In this series itself, Swami had mentioned in one of the discourses.
Right.
And so, going by that, it's really your priority.
Right. Once I am reminded of what a principal of the Vrindavan campus, Sanjay Sani sir, had told in one of the talks.
Mm-hmm.
There was this board of, one of the members of our educational board.
Mm-hmm.
Swami had apparently invited him to come and be here during the 70th birthday or 75th birthday.
Okay.
Swami said, you come here, 75th birthday, it's going to be a huge crowd and very nice celebration. Swami said, you can have my Vishwarupa Darshan. That's what Swami had told him.
Wow.
You know, in essence, meaning that so much crowd is going to come and that
Correct.
Is my Vishwarupa Darshan.
Correct.
Swami said, it's going to be very grand.
Mm.
And it's such a blessing to be invited by Swami personally. You know? Swami
Correct.
Said, come with all your family, bring all your relatives and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very happy. He went back and to his dismay, there was a marriage which was scheduled exactly around that time of Swami's birthday.
Oh.
So he had to really decide and it was a very close family member.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be very difficult to avoid that ceremony altogether. So he was in this confusion and a very beautiful thing happened. You know, he has this dream one night and Swami comes and explains to him. Swami takes him to a house, a huge mansion.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami says, see, this mansion is your heart.
Okay.
And inside, say there is one room.
Mm.
In that one room, there is your family. Mm. There's another room, there is your profession.
Mm.
There's another room, there are your friends.
Mm.
One other room, there is your relatives.
Mm-hmm.
There's another room and there is Swami.
Wah.
And he said, you've just given me one more room in your heart.
Oh.
And he said, if you treat me like this, then God also will treat you like that.
Correct. He's just reflection.
Right. And he said, as soon as he woke up from that dream, he knew exactly what he had to do.
He booked the tickets, I think.
Right.
That's amazing. And then Swami goes on to say about education, and this Swami has reiterated so many times. He says, education gives humility.
Right.
And very beautiful, because vidya dadati vinayam, vinaya dhyati patratva, పాత్రతా ఇస్ డిజర్వ్డ్నెస్. పాత్రత్వాత్ ధనం ఆప్నోతి, ధనాత్ ధర్మం, తతచ్ సుఖం. సో హియర్ ఆల్సో ఇట్స్ వెరీ బ్యూటిఫుల్. ఆఫ్టర్ యూ గెట్ ద డిజర్వ్డ్నెస్ యూ గెట్ ధనం. So that's not necessarily the money or the wealth that we are talking about. Dhanam can be in terms of knowledge, in terms of anything. Dhanat dharmam, then you have dharmam, then tata sukham, then you are happy.
We skip all the step setting. No? You are educated, you feel you are deserving. You're educated, you feel that you have to get the money.
Correct.
You're educated, you feel that you have to get the joy.
Mm.
Swami says this is the process. The humility is such an important thing.
Mm.
Now, I think any field of knowledge for that matter, be it arts, be it that humility is such an important thing.
In fact, one of the best ways of getting humility or, you know, developing humility is seva,
right,
is service. And there was something very touching, you know, in one of the videos made, I think, by the Maharashtra youth.
Okay.
And there was one student who, a youth who was going with this van, medical van, mm-hmm, and doing a lot of seva. And this van was, you know, organized by the Sai organization.
Okay.
But this youth knew nothing about Swami.
Mm-hmm.
He was so, you know, drawn to the way selfless service was being done. And then there's a clip where he's interviewed and he says, you know, I feel so happy doing this. It's much better than going and wasting my weekend on a movie. It's much better. How many times will I go and eat the same popcorn and say similar movies? So he says, I'm so inspired. Initially, I thought I was sacrificing a lot on my weekend. But then I realized that I'm not sacrificing anything. The return I'm getting, I feel so elated. I feel so happy.
I'm reminded of a quote which I read sometime back.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful one. It says, doing selfless actions,
mm-hmm,
is like doing skydiving.
Okay.
Hmm. Those who have not done it,
hmm,
will have no idea how exciting it is.
Correct.
And those who have done it,
yeah,
will do anything to get it again.
To get it again, that's true.
Because till you do it, you're scared.
Yeah.
How can I be selfless? How can I give up? How can I not get anything in return? But the one who has enjoyed that, the one who has found that, that's what Swami did, you know, when he gave opportunities.
Very true.
He said, here is happiness.
Mm.
Get addicted to it. I'm giving you a chance to do it and get addicted to it.
And you know, just reflecting on that, how beautifully he would sit himself and wait for the prasadam distribution to happen. And you know, there he is giving you an opportunity to serve.
Right.
Even gram seva is what? We are not spending 1 rupee from our pocket. He is giving you the opportunity to serve and get the joy of service.
And done so beautifully, as you're saying, you don't spend money. So automatically that is in your head, that I am not doing this.
Correct.
You know, I'm just doing what Swami is doing. I'm just being a part of what Swami is doing.
Beautiful.
Yes. Somehow it gets ingrained in your head. And I don't think any time when we went to the Gram Seva, that was a beautiful thing. You know, we never felt that we are going out and doing it.
Mm.
Not that it came because of our greatness or anything like that, but Swami had arranged it in such a way that there was no scope for that thinking at all.
Hmm.
As one of the coordinators,
mm-hmm,
of Swami's organizations, you know, he was talking in a very open forum,
mm-hmm,
not in an organization related activity, where somebody put this question.
Mm-hmm.
He said, see, there's so many NGOs, so many people doing good work.
Mm.
And yeah, good work is always done, you know.
Mm.
Everybody likes to do, as you said, you go and help somebody, it's always a nice feeling, makes you feel warm from within.
Mm.
He says, what's so different about Satya Sai organization?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he put it in one sentence very beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
He said, elsewhere, you take a work and you finish the work.
Mm.
In Satya Sai organization, you take a work and you let the work finish you.
Wow. That's true.
That's what when Swami says, humility is such an important thing. One of the grandest opportunity Swami has given is that, you know, through seva.
Beautiful.
And when we look at even this, the second part where Swami is talking about the problems of youth, in a sense.
Correct.
You know, it's Swami is saying it's so natural to be arrogant, to be aggressive, and to be proud of your energy.
Correct. And he has always told about youth, especially how Swami focuses on youth, because it's like the place where you have two roads. You know, that you have to make a decision there. And in your youth, if you take the other road, then you have just wasted the most precious part of your life.
In talking of this discipline for the youth, you know, I remember in one of our classes in the university, awareness classes, the teacher very beautifully explained this. You know, he showed a map and he said, at A, you have a water source.
Okay.
And at B, a point B in the map, you have the place where you need this water. Okay, how do you get this water from point A to point B? You cut a canal.
Correct.
Okay, you just make a canal and let the water flow. But when you do that, there is always seepage. Right? So what you do, you start lining the canal. Then more water comes. And then you see that still there is water loss. Then you waterproof the canal.
Okay.
So little more water reaches. And then you see that evaporation is taking away some water. So you cover the canal. Okay, and he said, the longer the destination is, the more you need to make sure that this process in which it is, you know, being carried,
correct,
is more covered. He said, this is what is discipline.
Oh.
He said, when you start young and you say that, no, my goal is high, when you set spiritual goals for yourself, you know that the distance is longer, the hike is higher, so you will accordingly discipline your life. You know, it's not just that flow with the wind and let's go and land up wherever we land.
Yeah, I mean, when we are talking about youth and discipline, I'm tempted to again repeat it. When we were in the school, Swami would often say, talk less, have less contacts.
Right.
It was almost like, you know, the two most important things that Swami always told us. Talk less, have less contacts.
Right. Have less contacts. We used to repeat that any number of times. Talk less, study more, have less contacts.
Yeah, because today with social media coming up, you are, you know, as one of our elders, when I was speaking to them, they said, all the postings that you do on your social media is an expression of your insecurity. It's an expression of your loneliness.
Expression of your loneliness.
Rather, it's not insecurity, right. It's loneliness.
My God.
That's the fact. I mean, do you need somebody else to make you happy? Do you need a comment from somebody else to make you happy? Aren't you happy yourself? So he says, it's you're shouting that you're lonely.
That's the thing, you know, one of the artists was once saying, the true art is when you do it only for your enjoyment.
Correct.
I think life also is like that. If you can do anything and everything in life, just for that self-satisfaction.
That's right. That Atma Santrupti, which Swami says.
But it's not that way. No, you go out, you do a smallest thing, you want it to be appreciated, liked on Facebook, and commented on, and tweeted, retweeted, and then you get the satisfaction.
And then you get the satisfaction. So, the whole thing is, if nobody sees your post, you're heartbroken. You have done such a great thing. Why do you give the power to somebody else to control your happiness? That's the whole question.
Then of course, in between, Swami made a small remark here. I think it's more of a little kind of pain that I feel. Swami says, even the devotee does not think about the God, he thinks about himself.
Correct.
I think this is the very oft-repeated story which Swami would often say is that of the Gopikas, the dust of their feet. Swami would say, I think enacted number of times in front of Swami. I think that is the essence of devotion which Swami would say. You know, Swami would say that Mahavishnu has this headache once.
Correct.
And everybody is wondering what to do. You know, Lord Vishnu is having the headache. Then Narada comes and he is called. And Vishnu says that, see, there is only one panacea. You have to bring the dust of the true devotee's
feet
and apply it on my forehead. And the first thing Narada says is, no, I will not do it. He says, you know, what a sin it is, and how can I take my dust and put... Then Vishnu says, who on earth told that you are the true devotee?
Now you go and search.
And he says, now you go and search. And then he goes around asking a number of people who he sees, they're worshipping in the temples and they're doing all kinds of... And they say, how can we do that? You know, we will go and rot in hell, we cannot do that. And Narada says, yeah, it's a natural feeling, right? Who will do this? So finally he is directed to go to the Gopikas. And there he goes and says that, you know, Vishnu says, in the way it is described, some of the Bhagavatars say that, you know, they go in, he goes and says, you know what, your Lord is having a headache. Immediately some of them swoon into a faint. And then he says, then they say, what do we have to do? And he says that he's asking for the dust of your feet.
Mm.
He says that if that can be applied on his head, it'll go.
Mm.
So immediately they go, they bring a huge blanket, all of them go and jump on it and say, take as much as you want.
Mm.
Then Narada says, stop, no, what are you doing? Do you know the repercussions of your act?
Mm.
If you, the dust of your feet go onto the Lord's head, you all will rot in hell for, you know, ages to come. And they say, so what? I mean, you, there's no redemption for you. He said, so what? He will be relieved, right?
Correct.
No, that kind of a devotion, I don't know if any of us have given to Swami. And that is what Swami says here, that even devotees are not thinking about the God, about the Lord, and thinking about themselves.
Very true. I mean, in Swami's, you know, when Swami was here, there are many such incidents where devotees just think a little bit. You know, there's the famous incident of that student as Swami was walking and coming in Kodaikanal. He just saw some dirt on the pathway, and he just cleaned it quickly with his hand. And they all were sitting for food. And so he was wondering whether he should get up and go and wash his hand, what he should do. But Swami knows everything. He was just walking and coming, and he just caught the boy with his hand, lifted him and took him there and actually washed his hand.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's that very famous photo of
Swami. There is the beautiful photo of Swami bending and then pouring water from a mug and washing that boy's hand. Isn't that so sweet?
Very beautiful. I think, and that's what once in one of the discussions we were saying, one of the most beautiful things that Swami has done is, you know, he has infused hope into some of these things which you have lost hope in.
Correct.
The thing that if you do something selfless, it will reach God. It was almost like when Swami was here, it was a time warp, you know. The whole thing was miniaturized. And the reflex to a good act was so quick.
Correct.
If you do something with good intention, the response from Swami was so instantaneous.
Correct.
That it restored that hope.
Correct.
You know, what would not have been there if not for Swami.
No, that's true, because now we have to only go on with that confidence. We know that, yes, Swami is there, Swami is listening to me. If I do something good, he is there to respond. That's how he has always responded.
Right. So, I think we're close to our time now. Dear listeners, we'll conclude this program at this point. Thank you for being with us. We will be completing this discourse in the next session, which is next week. Do join us then. If you have any comments, any feedback, any suggestions for this program, do write in to listener@radiosai.org. On behalf of my brother Sai Prakash here and myself, we offer this humble effort of ours at Swami's Lotus Feet. Thank you. Jai Sai Ram.